Loving Father, please open up your words to us now as Carol comes to read it for us and as Jamie then comes to preach. Please strengthen our faith and equip us to live for your glory in your world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisers, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, The men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Thanks very much, Carol. Can you hear me all right? Now, this is my old Arsenal football shirt. I got it back in 2003. Back then, it was a pretty good time to be an Arsenal fan. Arsenal had gone the whole season unbeaten. They were the best team in the country. So Arsenal fans had absolutely all the bragging rights. It was really good. But then, after that, Arsenal went for nearly 9 years without winning any trophies at all. People started to see them as a bit of a joke. It wasn't such an easy time to be an Arsenal fan, and my loyalty was put to the test. At the start of today's passage, things are going pretty well for Daniel. Although he's in exile in Babylon, Daniel had become a very important official. And he'd done such a good job that the king planned to promote him to the top position. Verse 3 says, "Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Things very quickly became more challenging for Daniel. His loyalty to God was put to the test. If you're taking notes, the first heading is Daniel's loyalty in challenging circumstances. Daniel's loyalty in challenging circumstances. The other officials obviously weren't too pleased about Daniel's upcoming promotion. You can imagine their disgruntled mutterings. Why weren't they going to get the top job? What had Daniel done to deserve it? Why should he be put in charge of them? Why should one of the outsiders from Israel be put in charge of the whole kingdom? Well, they weren't just going to stand by and let it happen. They hatched a cunning plan to bring Daniel down. They couldn't find anything wrong with how he was doing his job. It says they found he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. So they decided to get Daniel in trouble because of his faith. They tricked the king into making a decree that they were confident that Daniel would fall foul of. Take a look at what they say in verse 6. They said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisers, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, Your Majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, Your Majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." King Darius was probably pretty flattered by how important this decree would make him look, and he quickly agreed and put it in writing. So how did Daniel respond? What would prove most important to him? His loyalty to the king or his loyalty to God? Maybe he'd take the easy option. He'd just stop praying for a month, keep out of trouble, keep his head down, and get his promotion. No, Daniel carried on praying to God, asking him for help and thanking him for all he'd done. And he didn't do it inconspicuously. He carried on just as he had before. Verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." He didn't try to hide what he was doing. He prayed in front of the open windows. Everyone could see what Daniel's priorities were. They could see that his loyalty was to God. And his loyalty to God was more important than any fear of the king and the punishments he might face because of the king's decree. We might think, that's really brave of Daniel. It's really crazy too. He must have known he was going to get in trouble. But it actually wasn't really crazy. Daniel had seen God's power and faithfulness throughout his life. If we read the rest of the book of Daniel leading up to this point, we find out that not only had Daniel seen multiple prophecies that God had given him come true, he'd seen God rescue his friends and fellow Israelites, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, from the flames of a massive furnace. He knew that he could trust God. And he knew that as powerful as any king might seem, God is more powerful. Just at the end of the last chapter, the previous king, Belshazzar, had been overthrown and killed in just one night. God's much more powerful than any king that Daniel had served. So why would he fear any punishment from Darius, who only had short-term earthly power, when he has God, who has eternal power over all kings and all creation? It made me think of when I was little. I've got a brother, and he's 5 years younger than me. So that meant that when we were little, I was a lot bigger than he was. So I had a degree of authority. And if my parents weren't looking, and I told him to do something naughty, he might have been tempted to do it, because I was much bigger. But it wouldn't have been the sensible thing to do. She'd know from experience that sooner or later, our mum and dad would find out, and that they were much bigger than both of us. They were the ones who were really in charge, and they'd quickly come to his rescue if his brother, bigger brother, started fighting with him. Similarly, Daniel knew that God was really in charge, not Darius or the officials. He knew that God was faithful to his people, and he'd seen it in his life. And because he knew that God was faithful, Daniel remained loyal to God, even when the going got tough. Now, none of us are going to face being thrown into a lion's den anytime soon. At least I hope not. But in life, we all face challenging circumstances, small challenges and big ones, where our priorities are put to the test. We have the choice to remain loyal to God, to do what's right in his eyes, or to give in, to put ourselves and what we want first. Will we remain loyal, even if it's costly? Even if we're facing hostility or mockery, for example? Are our priorities as transparent as Daniel's to those who know us? Do they see us remaining loyal to God, even when it's difficult, even when it's costly? We can look to what God has done in the past and see his faithfulness too. We can see it in the lives of people like Daniel that we read about in the Bible. Most of all, we see it in Jesus. God the Father was faithful enough to give his own son to save us. So when you and I face a challenge, we can look to Jesus and see God's faithfulness and power. And I pray that this will help us to remain loyal to our faithful God, like Daniel did. So, back to Daniel. He chose to put his trust in God and carry on praying, disregarding the royal decree. It's a story of a faithful servant condemned to death. And if you're taking notes, that's the second point. A faithful servant condemned to death. His enemies went to his house, obviously hoping to find Daniel praying, hoping that he'd get him sent, thrown to the lions and be rid of him. And we see they found exactly what they hoped for. Verse 11 says, "Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. They quickly rushed to the king, eager to get Daniel in trouble. They reminded the king of his decree in verse 12. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king happily acknowledged it, saying, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. And then the officials gleefully dobbed Daniel in verse 11. They said, Daniel, who's one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. Daniel had been faithful to God. He'd done the right thing. But now he faced a death sentence. Not only was Daniel faithful to God, King Darius knew that Daniel did his job dutifully, that he wasn't corrupt or negligent. He'd done all that he should for the king. He was an asset the king really didn't want to lose. Verse 14 tells us, when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sunset to save him. But the king soon realized that he was powerless to help Daniel now. As the officials reminded him in verse 15, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." Darius realized that only God could save Daniel. He said in verse 16, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Daniel was shut in the den, and it was sealed with signet rings so that no one could go in. So Daniel did the right thing, but he received a death sentence. It looks like, by remaining loyal to God, Daniel ended up the loser. It looks like the scheming officials are going to be the winners. One of them will get the top job, and they'll have got rid of Daniel, who is making them all look bad. It looks like loyalty to God means you're going to end up the loser. So why bother? It can feel like that for us in our lives sometimes too. Often, we've remained loyal to God, we've done what's right in his eyes, and yet we've come away licking our wounds. Maybe it's hostility we've faced when we've told someone that we're a Christian, or we've spoken about Jesus. Maybe we've missed out on a promotion at work because of choices we've made to stay loyal to God. Maybe we've ended up feeling excluded socially because we've not joined in with unkind conversations or gossip about people. There are all kinds of situations we face where we may feel we've ended up as the loser because we've remained loyal to God. We can see this isn't something new. It happened when Daniel was alive, just as it continues today. But the good news is, the story doesn't end there. Daniel doesn't end up the loser, devoured by lions, and neither do we. So the king was left worrying all through the night about what Daniel's fate would be. When he hurried to the den in the morning, the question he asked in verse 20 was this: "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Was God able to rescue Daniel? That's the big question. Would God prove powerful enough to overcome the circumstances? Would he prove faithful as he had done before? Well, the answer is yes. We see God's faithfulness and power proved. And that's my final point, if you're taking notes. God's faithfulness and power proved. Daniel answered Darius from the den. He was alive. He told Darius in verse 22, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." God had proved faithful and saved Daniel. He came out absolutely unscathed. Verse 23 says, "When Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God." We see that this isn't just a case of some tame lions either. When Darius punished the scheming officials, they weren't saved from the lions and met a gruesome end. God's rescue of Daniel made King Darius realize that Daniel's God was real, that he was powerful, that he was the true God. He issued a new decree. This time, the decree didn't order everyone to worship him. It acknowledged God as the one true ruler, who's faithful to his people and has the power to save them. Take a look at verse 26. The decree said, "He is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end." Earthly rulers come and go, but God endures forever. God's authority was far greater than Darius's. God saved Daniel when Darius could do absolutely nothing. Verse 26 continues, "He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the lion's den." Darius realized that God is a savior. He rescues his people, just like he rescued Daniel. So how do we respond? I don't think probably anyone here has got a kingdom, so I imagine we're probably not going to make a decree like Darius did. But as we read about God's work in Daniel's life, we too can go away convinced of the same things that Darius put in his decree. Darius was convinced that God's faithful, powerful, and saves his people. Today we have an even greater reason to be convinced of this, as I touched on earlier. As we read about what happened to Daniel, God is pointing us to something greater. Like Daniel, Jesus was falsely accused by a group of conspirators who wanted to get rid of him. Like Daniel, Jesus was condemned to death. But unlike Daniel, no angel appeared to prevent Jesus' death. Rather, angels appeared when the stone that sealed Jesus in was rolled away. Jesus died, but came out resurrected, alive. With Jesus, death was rendered impotent, defeated. Because not only was Jesus undeserving of his punishment, like Daniel, Jesus is God himself, the everlasting King, whom Daniel prophesied about. In Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the ultimate proof that God is powerful, that God's faithful, that he saves. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection are a guarantee for us. Not that God will rescue us from the mouths of lions, but that if we put our trust in him, God's faithful, he can guarantee our resurrection too. He'll bring us through death to eternal life. We're guaranteed everlasting life when we put our trust in Jesus. If we stay trusting in him, nothing that we face in life can endanger that. Whatever we go through, whatever we may suffer in this life, nothing can keep us from heaven. We have nothing to fear. So let's remain loyal to him, even if it's costly. Even if it means that others think you're a loser. Even if it hurts. Because in the end, God will be victorious. His enemies will be defeated. He will save his people. And we can enjoy the blessings of resurrection life for all eternity. I'm going to pray as we finish. Father God, thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you're powerful. And thank you that you do save your people. I pray that remembering those truths, Lord, you'd help us to stay loyal to you, even when it's costly. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.